This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and moved me, honey. I've changed my mind. This love is fine. It's just great balls of fire. Kisses, baby. Feels good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a should. You're fine. So kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine.
Oh, yeah, that'll wake you up, won't it? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Malloy Show. I am Paul Malloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for joining us on this last day of the month, July 31st, on Freedom Works. Wow. Didn't this month fly by? They seem to always do so. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Mike Gonzalez of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about identity politics. You've heard that term. Identity politics, and how it's dividing and corrupting America. So stay tuned for that. And while our economy takes a huge hit with the drop in gross domestic product, President Trump continues to remain positive. Congress, as we speak, debating a new incentive package. We're going to discuss all of this stuff with the proprietor of Mainstream America's most trusted poll, the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci. You got to stay tuned for that. And by the way, you remember the Stonehenge? You ever go to England? They always talk about you got to get over to Stonehenge to see all of those boulders that are set up. Way before Christ, they set that thing up and nobody knew how it became that way. Well, we're going to tell you all about it. How did they do it? We're going to tell you. Stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 greatest movie heroes of all time. Let's see if Ed knows who number one is. Can't wait to talk about that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Just call for your appointment, you guys, 727-733-3773. You will get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. You will also get a great price, and you can't beat it. 727-733-3773. By the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. But if you can't listen to us live, Big Ed sets up all of our shows on podcast. Thank you, Big Ed. And you go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, last day of the month, everybody's talking about whether the kids are going to go back to school physically or are they going to stay at home. I think the tide is shifting. I think people are starting to think the kids should go back. I think people are starting to talk about the fact that teachers should be considered like medical workers. What's the term when you are a necessary employee? So therefore, you should go back. I think people are talking about different ways to set up the classrooms. And people are talking about the fact that if these kids, especially in grade school and in those formative years, are not allowed to go back to school, it can do a lot of damage. I mean, not just educationally. Think about it. The situation of staying cooped up in a house all during the fall and the late summer. That's not good, not having the social contact with kids. Now, granted, you got to be careful, but I think you can figure it out, and I think the kids can too. So they're talking a lot about that right now. The teachers' unions don't basically want to go back, but I think the pressure is coming and mounting, and I think parents are ready for those kids to be placed back in school this coming school term. In the meantime, this is good news for Donald Trump. The largest police union in Florida is backing him. The largest police union in Florida is backing Donald Trump. 30,000 police in Florida are backing Trump. Here's the president of the union. It's the Florida Police Benevolent Association. And his name is John Kazingen. He says, we are 30,000 strong. We go from the Panhandle to Daytona to Tampa down to Miami and to the Keys. He said the decision to endorse Trump started with his move last week to call for an emergency meeting via conference phone with all the chapter and charter presidents and boards of directors. He said, I spelled out what's going on, not just in Florida, but around the country. He says, hey, you know what? We're getting beat up. Well, that's for sure. These cops are getting slapped around. You know, if you give anybody, just think about it in human behavior. There's always something called being so nice that they start to disrespect you. And that's just, that's what human, and that's kind of an extension of this. And if you let people give them an inch, I'm not kidding, they will take the proverbial mile. If you let them start writing graffiti on the side of a building, eventually they're going to try to blow the building up. That's what happens. Because they want to see how far they can get.
I saw a video in New York of two thugs following two police officers in a building, pouring water over the police officer's back. And the police just didn't do anything.
I tell you.
I can't imagine that.
I don't think I could keep my temper in.
No.
I don't think I would turn around and pull out that nightstick and their teeth would be on the sidewalk.
Technically, it's a battery on a police officer.
I know. I mean, it's terrible. Absolutely. And I think most people feel that way, Ed. And that's why I think Trump's got the advantage in November. People are going to remember the. It's a hard visual to forget, to see these buildings being attacked, federal or otherwise, stores, you know, guys walking up, these black clothed people with bandanas, or and then taking the sledgehammers to windows. You think that people generally just sit back and go, oh, that's nice? Of course they don't.
Can you imagine if it was a group of foreign country people, like let's just say Islamic, let's just say somebody from the Middle East, took over 2-3 city blocks and under their power? Why is that different than anything else, than what these people are doing now?
It isn't.
It's homegrown terrorism.
It's horrible. So we get the police department, I mean, the biggest police union in Florida backing him, and that comes on the heels of the general, that other police union that mentioned that they were going to endorse him. I think it was in Minnesota. Don't quote me on that one, but he's getting, and a lot of these people, and remember, the police have generally been, up until recently, I think, generally been Democratic. I mean, they're kind of like the blue-collar Democratic people.
Can you imagine? I would imagine every police officer in America will probably vote for him, and that includes retired ones, retired people's families. I mean, it's just going to be...
Anybody that believes in the rule of law...
Yeah.
I think they're going to be hard-pressed to vote for Biden.
Wow.
They're going to be hard-pressed to vote. I think the Democrats do themselves a huge disservice that when they don't come out and make a point of condemning these things.
Yeah, nobody will.
Things.
Nobody will.
Isn't that something?
And I don't know if they're not being asked.
Do they think they have enough votes of people that like that kind of rioting?
Well, Nadler thinks what's going on in Portland's a myth. Being spread around Washington.
Yeah,
he's clueless.
If I were the Republicans, I would want Nadler up
in
front of...
I'd buy him a bus ticket and have him go out there and see it for his own self.
No. If I were a Republican, I would have him in front of a camera as much as possible. It's just like having Nancy Pelosi and Schumer in front of a camera. I think they do their party a disservice.
Well, Nancy was asked about these people taking down statues on their own free will, and she said... that's what they do.
By the way, somebody's got to tell her that she has to stop moving her jaw like that.
Because
I know her teeth are going to fall off, but she's got to figure out a way to keep her jaw.
Denture grip only lasts a few hours. You know, you've got to reload that stuff all the time.
You know, we're terrible.
She just keeps that in her shirt pocket. You know? You think she's wiping her nose, but she's injecting denture grip in her mouth.
You're pretty funny when you want to be. All right. We are going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the plot to change America, how identity politics is dividing our country.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to tantalkhealth.com. That's tantalkhealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshew.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works and delighted to have Mike Gonzalez with us. He is a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Douglas and Sarah Allison Center for Foreign Policy. And he's got a book out, The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. Mike, welcome to Freedom Works.
Paul, thanks a lot for having me on, and hello to your listeners in Tampa. I love Tampa. I love the whole area, so I'm very pleased to be on with you.
Well, you do us a nice compliment. Thank you very much, Mike. And I understand this book is just out, and this thing about identity politics, it's just amazing. It makes me think of another book, 1984. I'm sure you know about it, George Orwell's book, where everything that they said was almost the reverse of what they were really meaning. You know, it got very bizarre. But one of the things you say in your book, The Plot to Change America, the first myth that this book will expose is that identity politics is a grassroots movement. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. It really is an elite project. The people who have been herded into the identity groups really resisted it at first when the groups were first created in the 60s and 70s. You have to understand that this is a project that goes back a few decades. I detail the whole thing in my book, The Plot to Change America, how it was done, and it was done for a reason. It was done by people who wanted to change the constitutional order of the country. I heard you and your previous guest talking about the problems that we're having in our streets today. This is all a consequence of the things we have been doing. You know, these elites that I described, they set out to not just create groups, but instill grievances into people. Because what what they what they realized was if people were not filled with grievances and resentments, they were not going to try to overthrow the system. One of the gurus of the new left that I write a lot about in my book, Herbert Marcuse, he had this expression. He said that all liberation depends on the consciousness of servitude, the consciousness of servitude. So in other words, you had to tell people that they were being repressed. You had to tell people that they were being oppressed and that they had to overthrow their oppressors. And this is what we're seeing in the summer of 2020.
Yes. And, you know, it seems to me that ultimately they end up eating themselves, because I'm watching as an example, I guess I could mention the Ellen DeGeneres show. And all of a sudden, you know, and this is a program that, you know, it was kind of a groundbreaking kind of a program because Ellen's, you know, sexual identity and everything. And all of a sudden, you know, behind the scenes, they got all of these things going on that has to do, in my opinion, with kind of what you're talking about, you know, to some extent, although I know there are a lot of different issues. But my point is that people that start down that road of identity politics, I don't know, it kind of, they start turning on each other. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you're completely right. I mean, and that's the problem. It used to be that we used to derive our identity, ourselves, our sense of worth from overcoming challenges. We all have challenges, right? Life is always throwing us curves. Overcoming these challenges was what gave us a claim to, you know, for respect. Now it's we have a culture of victimhood. All these groups in which the identities are based, whether race, ethnicity, sex, sexual orientation, what they all have overlaying all of this is these identities confer a sense of victimhood, which then they use to claim respect and attention or even compensatory justice or rewards. The problem with that is that it puts victimhood on a hamster wheel, right, Paul? It never ends, because if you derive your sense of dignity and your claim for respect on your victimhood, you have zero incentives to overcome your victimhood. You want to feed your victimhood. And so what you have is a bunch of aggrieved people that continue to be aggrieved. And as you said, everybody's at each other's throats.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Mike Gonzalez. He is a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation at the Douglas and Sarah Allison Center for Foreign Policy. So he knows a lot about that. But he's come up with a book called The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free. I guess it was released, what, last week, Mike?
It was released on Tuesday. It's doing really well. I'm very happy that my ideas are getting out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not happy about why that is. I mean, the reason for that is that the country is in really dire straits. But I did write this book to inform people as to what happened, how it happened, who did it, why they did it,
yeah,
and what we can do about it.
You know, I don't want to, you know, break it down between Republican and Democrat, but maybe I'm going to anyway. It seems like Democrats always need to have something to divide people to content for their existence. And therefore, victimhood falls right into that pattern, because obviously they're the ones that are beating the drum about victimhood, whether it's George Floyd or, you know, sexual things back and forth, sexual identity, whatever. But if you can divide people, if you can divide people by sex, you can divide them by race, you know, division is what they feed on. So I don't know, just kind of throwing that out there. But victimhood certainly becomes a great tool to do this division, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what it's intended. To make people feel filled with resentment, filled with, you know, hatred for society, so that they want to overthrow society, they want to change the system. But I got to tell you, Paul, I blame all sides. Politicians just really lack the will to do things if they think they're going to pay a price for it. They want to be reelected, so they will not do the right things oftentimes. So, you know, I'm here in Washington, and I take a dimmer view than you do of all parties.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to give Republicans a break necessarily. Look, politics being what they are, you can understand why they go after each other. But, you know, the divisive situation. Now we got all the rioting going on. And I think the whole context of George Floyd has been lost at this point. Look at Portland. What is it, 64 days straight? I mean, what's going on, you know, in other cities as well, Seattle and Chicago, and some of these others that are undergoing, and there's cities in the South now, too, down in Texas. I don't know, but victimhood seems to be the foundation or the excuse that is being used. I just don't think it ever ends in a good way.
I don't know. Paul, you said something was happening in Portland. You know, I've been watching CNN and the networks all day. Is something happening in Portland?
No, it's fine. Go on out there. I think they're only changing the skyline. Let's put it that way, right? Good Lord.
They're mostly peaceful, I thought.
Yeah, that's what they're supposed to be, I guess. I don't know. I guess peaceful includes throwing fireworks and whatever you can at the side of buildings.
Quarters. You know,
quarters. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, we got all of this going on, and then we have the virus. And, the nerves are frayed. Nerves are frayed with the way people are feeling right now. This is a tough time for all of us. We don't know when this virus situation is going to end. Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, not at all. I'm just kind of.
No. I think that provided the tinderwood a lot for all that needed was a spark, right?
Yes.
And I think also you had like the Black Lives Matter Global Network, which is an organization, not the slogan Black Lives Matter, but the organization itself, which kind of prepared the ground for all these protests, which then, you know, a lot of them devolved into riots. Look, I wrote my book, as I said, The Plot to Change America, so people understand why we're divided, who divided us, why they did it. Now, American ethnicity has always been changing, right? Right now, as I speak to you, I'm looking at this picture from the 1890s of two first cousins of my grandfather who went to Tampa to found a cigar place.
Oh, wow.
They made it big. They're sitting there in the tuxedos. Did they face discrimination?
Yeah, of course they did.
Because they were Cuban Spanish? I don't know, probably, maybe, but they made it big. I mean, they're sitting there, a picture from the 1895. They were in their tuxedos. They did well.
They did great.
As many people in Tampa did, you know the story really well. So we have had this pursuit of the American dream. Well, this is really the goose that laid the golden eggs, right? We have had 100 million immigrants come to our shore between 1850 and the present moment.
Right.
And this attraction continues. There's a very long line of people out the door waiting to come in. There's no line of people waiting to get out. I think that trying to change, to completely transform this country structurally, systemically, institutionally, is the worst thing that we could be doing at the moment.
Right.
Because this is still the best country on earth. And I've lived in many countries. I used to be a foreign correspondent. I lived in many countries. I've been able to compare and contrast. So I hope that with my book, I create the climate of opinion that people will say to our leaders in the corporate world, in politics, in the media, no, let's improve America, but let's not transform America.
Very well put, Mike. And again, your book is The Plot to Change America, How Identity Politics is Dividing the Land of the Free by Mike Gonzalez. And Mike, it was a pleasure. I hope we talk again soon.
Anytime, Paul. Anytime you want.
Yes, sir. All right. Mike Gonzalez. Very good. You know, this identity politics thing, I mean, it's almost, if it wasn't so scary, it would be comical, you know? Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, our economy kind of on the ropes right now. Trump continuing to remain positive. Congress debating a new incentive package. Going to talk about all of these things with the proprietor of the most trusted pole in mainstream America, the barber pole. High school. It's a
wonder I can think at all. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, that's rather... Are we supposed to get up in March, Ed? What's going on here?
The president's in town.
Is President Trump in town?
Yes.
Here in Tampa Bay?
He'll be here. I'm sure you check with his supervisor here, Andrew, the Master Barber, as to what time he lands.
Well, first of all, why didn't he let me know? I would have invited them to be on the show. My goodness, how unkind of him. Well, in the meantime, they're talking in Congress again while all of this is going on about a new incentive package and whether or not we should be doling out more money. So. I'm having a little issue here with my... Okay, there we go. So, got lots to talk about. We got the Master Barber on with us. And, Andrew, did you know that Trump was coming to town?
Yeah, Paul, actually, I was invited to go out on the tarmac and greet him and wave some signs and say hello. But
oh my!
I decided with my back surgery that I had, you know, I've been there before and done this. I said, I'm going to be standing too long.
Yes.
A lot of walking. I don't think I'm going to chance this one.
I think you're very wise to do that. There is so much going on. Donald Trump, of course, he is not afraid, first of all, to get in front of the camera, no matter what. He'll take the hit. He'll take the questions. And he's been very optimistic that we're going to get back on track and that our economy will come back like never before. But right now, let's be honest, there's 152,000 Americans that are dead from the coronavirus. That's a lot of people, no matter what you say. We seem to be still in the midst of that. We've got a very bad gross domestic product report. It's dropped about 33%, Andrew. So times are very tough. And it does make a difference. People, you know, they'll look at that, and even though we don't want to say that Donald Trump or the Republicans
are
responsible
for
it.
Look at the Democrats have been causing all this problem. They want to keep everything shut down, number one. Even look at the teachers' union. Talk about disgusting me. They're threatening on going to strike in Arizona, Florida, and Texas. Now, why would they pick those three states, Paul?
They're the big states. They're states that Trump needs to win. That's number
one. Okay, right. And there's a lot of electoral votes there. Okay. Now, this stuff is all planned, Paul. You know what? People are onto it. We're all onto it, Paul. And you know what? they know that this economy will come back November the 5th. Okay?
Right.
And there's no question in my mind about it. This will all be over. They're trying everything in their book. Did you see the disgusting ex-president yesterday at a funeral giving that beautiful eulogy?
Well, first of all, disgusting presidents that were out there, but I'm guessing...
That's right, okay.
But I'm guessing you're talking about Barack Obama. Go ahead.
How about number 44, okay?
Yeah.
You know, they're trying everything they do, Paul, to defeat Trump. I think this is going to be one time you're going to see the people are smart to what's going on. And I think you got to take a lot of it to social media and communications that we didn't have in the old days. Okay?
I think you're right. Thank God we have the additional social media and, you know, things like One American News,
it's out there Fox and people News. Are talking. Listen, I can tell you this, and God can strike me dead as I speak. Now, you know that I have the Trump 2020 signs at my barbershop and the bumper stickers. I'm part of the Republican Club here, and they keep me supplied because they know I'm an offshoot of the Republican arm in my barbershop.
Yes, you are.
Let me tell you something, Paul. The enthusiasm of people coming in and the disgust they are having for the Democrat Party and what is going on in this country today, the burnings of buildings, the statues, they're crazy.
Yeah.
People are tired of it, Paul.
Yeah, indeed.
Those sacrificed with a few pennies out of their pocket right now to get this country back on the road. You're talking about a handful of vile, disgusting people that are causing this, Paul.
When we started our program this morning, Ed and I were discussing how, or I guess I was saying most of it, but how the teachers' unions who are fighting to come back are indeed, I think the wave is turning. I think people... I really do. I think that the public in general is starting to say, you know what, these kids need to get back to school. I think people are coming around to that conclusion. I think the Democrats are starting to realize it, too. And they're going to have to figure out a way to get these kids back in school. There are plenty of things.
To get them back in school. You get their little rear ends on the bus and you send them off.
Right.
You open up the schools, Paul. It's no big deal here. And like you're saying, 150,000 people died from the Paul. Out of 330 million people, come on.
Still a lot, though, Andrew. No question about that.
Look at 3.2 million people die of cancer. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
What are we doing? We don't sit there and close the economy down.
No.
We don't close the schools down, do you?
No, indeed.
It's a bunch of baloney, Paul, to try and take Trump down. People are onto this.
I'm hoping that a vaccine is going to be, and we've got a lot of different organizations that are working on it. I think that's, by the way... the way they're doing this is capitalism at its best. We got a lot of drug companies that are out there. They're testing all of these different things. And, every day we hear new reports.
Paul,
go ahead.
Nothing about vaccines. However, the flu vaccine that's been out, okay, I think they say 45 million people get it a year, right?
Quite a few.
Still, on an average, 37 million people die. 37,000 people die on average of a year just from the flu, Paul. Pneumonia is going to kill the people. It's killing all the old people. The young kids can go to school. The people that have respiratory problems, heart problems, stay in, protect yourself. Wash your hands. This is no different.
That's right.
Paul, we are at war. They are trying to take Trump out of here, and it's not going to happen. The people are fighting.
Trump, on another topic, they've been talking a lot about John Lewis, who indeed was a great civil rights icon in the United States, but Herman Cain passed away. Unfortunately, he passed away from the coronavirus. Do you remember Herman Cain?
Well, I know Herman. I remember Herman Cain very well. I also know that Herman Cain had 4-stage cancer that he beat about 2 years ago.
Yes, he did.
Okay, and, so they were saying from complications of the coronavirus, Paul.
That's
they
right.
They didn't say he died from the coronavirus.
He had a very fragile system, and there's no question about it. Anything that could enter a system like that could do harm. But I wanted mainly to talk about the fact he was a black conservative. He worked his way up from the very bottom to become the head of Godfather's Pizza, which he turned into a successful operation. He was perennially optimistic. And apparently he didn't have an enemy in the world. Even the people that didn't like his politics liked him. And President Trump mentioned him as a close friend and mourned his passing at the age of 74. So we have people like Herman Cain, conservative
black
people.
Herman Cain is what, 74 years old,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 1964 is when things really turned for the blacks, okay? We ended up giving them welfare. They got free medical. They've got free housing. They got free food, free education, Paul. Now, three generations later, let me tell you something. There should be a lot of black people out there who should be very well educated with a free education. You know, Herman Cain, fantastic. Look at him. He took advantage of it.
He did.
I heard a story about Herman Cain. He was working for a company because he was a math whiz.
Yes, he was working.
And he was working for a company, and a white man and him got hired at the same time, okay? And they were working for about a year, and you notice the white man kept getting more raises than he did. All right? So at one point, he finally went up to his boss, and he says, you know, why is it that this man here is getting more raises than I'm getting, and we have the same job? And his boss looked at him and said, well, he has a master's, which meant a master's degree. So Herman complained. He said he turned around, walked out of that office. You know what he did?
He went and got his master's degree.
I'll
tell you what, the guy, I think he should be held up, and I think black people should lift him up. Maybe they should have a statue for him, by the way.
There you go, not George Floyd.
Exactly. George Floyd was a thug. Now, again, he didn't deserve to die that way, but he was a thug. And you've got a guy like Herman Cain, and look at the way he's disparaged. Even some of the mainstream media, first thing they said was he got the virus and he wasn't wearing a mask. To disparage the guy, you know, right at the top of the obituary. But anyway, I want to also to mention to you, the master barber, that Donald Trump kind of, you know, he tweeted one of these things that just made me get a little bit nervous, and that was that he floated the idea of delaying the election.
You know why he did that, Paul?
I know, but when he did it, and the way he said it, and wait, let me finish. The way he said it in there, you could misinterpret whether or not he was sincere about it. Now, he's backed off of it. Because even McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, and a lot of other Republicans said, you know, there's no way we're going to be able to do that. And the president.
Trump made a point, Paul. He got the Democrats nervous as can be.
No, he got them excited.
He made them sit there and say, okay, guess what? The polls are going to be open. They were all talking their baloney.
He got the Democrats excited. They were licking their lips because they knew if they could just say that you know, Trump is crazy enough to want to try something like that. I mean, that was that's what. Now I'm sure I know that he knew that they were not going to change the election day. But this brings me to mail-in ballots. Now here in Florida, Andrew, we have mail-in voting and we've had it for a while.
And it was messed with for a long time, too. Look at Broward County.
Yeah, so I want to ask.
It was messed with it.
Here's what I want to ask you. Do you think we should, if we could wave a wand, should we get rid of mail-in voting altogether and force people to the polls?
Yeah, I think we should. I mean, the only reason it should be accepted is if you can't get out of your home.
Okay.
I mean, let's face it, we all go to Walmart. We've all been to Home Depot, especially through this crisis. That's what I was telling people. I said, these teachers want to strike. They don't want to go back to work. They're afraid. But yet the people that work at Publix and Winn-Dixie and Home Depot
right.
and Walmart make less money than them, have still been going to work since April and putting up with all these people, thousands and thousands of them.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, that's what's the term for when you are a necessary worker or whatever it is?
That's right. Well, the teachers, they should be considered essential workers,
essential,
right?
Thank you. That's the word.
Get your butts to work. And the governor, if they don't want to go back to work, you ought to pull a Ronald Reagan. Like, fire every one of them that doesn't show up for work.
Now, remember,
I made a couple customers.
He did that with the air traffic controllers, right? He fired those traffic controllers that refused to come back to work.
That's right.
That was one of the first things he did when he became president. That's right.
That's right. And you know what? I hope Governor DeSantis in the state of Florida has got the coyotes to do the same thing. Because they want to play games. They want to play political games. They think they got the union. They got the power. Well, you know what? The taxpayers are the boss this time, not a company. And there's going to be a lot of upset taxpayers.
I think you're right. What do you think about this incentive package? Do we need to send out another one?
I don't think they should, Paul. I think they should open everything. They need to open up these bars, let these people get back to work. You know, look at these people that own these bars, Paul. You know the money they're losing.
Oh, it's terrible.
I can tell you, I went to my buddy Leo's restaurant a couple weeks ago on a Saturday. This guy's got to be losing $10,000 a night, Paul.
Oh, that's terrible.
Okay, open these places up. Let's get back to work. You know, Paul, so I can tell everybody, why does it only take one dog to herd 500 sheep?
That's true.
Why is it, Paul? You know why? Because the sheep are afraid. Oh, and that's what these people are today. I'll tell you what, I'm not stopping living my life. I'm doing everything I got to do, Paul. And people should do the same, because you know why? You could die tomorrow.
You're right.
Okay, and I'm not going to die behind a mask, because Fucci told me to.
You know, Andrew, every time we have you on, with your energy and your optimism, and you always know what you're about, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. So thank you so very much for that. I hope you have a great weekend. And, of course, next week, Lord willing, we'll be talking again.
You got it, my friend.
Thanks, Andrew.
You take care. Have a good weekend.
You do.
Trump be with you.
The same to you. There he goes. May the Trump be with you. I like that. May the Trump be with you. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that. You know that, you ever been to England and you hear about Stonehenge and they talk about all of these boulders that are set up like little Legos and how it became that way? We're going to tell you, finally, they figured it out. Only
the lonely. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all... Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. You know, with all the other things going on, Ed, we forgot to talk about the fact there's a hurricane coming our way. Did you know that? Hurricane Isaias? It's apparently, originally, when I looked at the cone, it scared me. It looked like it might make a direct hit on our beloved Florida, but now it looks like it's veering off towards the east.
Yes, and that's Hurricane Isaias.
Oh, excuse me.
Isaias.
Is that really what it's pronounced?
Yeah.
Well, I like Isaias better, don't you? Huh?
Yeah, I was just, for sure, I was just
how
calling,
did they come
I was
up
calling
with
it Issy for a while.
Issy. Issy the hissy fit.
Yeah. Isaias.
Oh, gesundheit to you.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that. I've never heard of Isaias. What is that? Is that a Muslim name?
I don't know who picks these names.
Is that a Muslim
out.
Name?
I mean, do they throw them all in a hat and pull them out? You know.
Yeah.
I mean, Isaias doesn't sound like a very commanding hurricane.
Doesn't sound very manly to me.
Yeah, he's like, here comes Hurricane Isaias. Well, let's play cards, you know.
Here comes Hurricane Isaias swishing up the East Coast.
See, now, if you heard Hurricane Bubba's coming.
Now, then I would be worried.
I'd leave the state.
Exactly. Hurricane Bubba, that scares me. That really does. Okay. So, Ed, have you ever heard of Stonehenge?
I have, because in a Chevy Chase movie, European Vacation, he backs into them and they fall
into
dominoes.
Okay, that's exact. Just think about it. Oh, my God.
Centuries of stones knocked down by backing out.
So these are huge stones in southern England. And do you know that they've been around even way before?
You.
I knew you'd say it. Even before Jesus. Okay. Now, most of the of these boulders, nobody figured out, how did they do this? Where'd they come from? Right?
Yeah.
You want to know all about that?
Okay.
Okay. Most of these boulders are kind of like sandstone boulders. They come from the West Woods in the English county, which is only about a few miles away from where these things were constructed. Everybody tried to figure out where all of this stuff came from. And now that they've got all of this research capability, they were able to use what they call portable X-ray fluorescent spectrometry to analyze the stones. And so they weren't really from that far away. People come there and they just couldn't figure out why and where and how. And they said that the site may have been built using a famous theory by the Greek philosopher Pythagoras. And so anyway, the main thing, I guess, is that they were able to say that the actual boulders and the like were not, you know, coming from some crazy, strange, or alien. You know, aliens was another deal, you know?
So you're saying they didn't go to Home Depot and get some hydraulic
apparently
lifts?
Apparently not. Okay. Yeah, apparently not. Okay, I want to also talk to you, my friend, about, and as you can see, I am sporting my Tampa Bay Lightning shirt, because the hockey season is back, and it's not the beginning of a new season, Ed. It's the end of the last one. They're going to actually do a playoff format.
Yep.
What do you think?
Well,
are the Lightning going to have a shot at it?
I think so. I think they're in the mix. They're probably within the final four, I'd say.
Oh, wow. That would be fun.
Yeah, I would have to say so. They look pretty strong.
Do you think, now, as you know, I think it's the Seattle Mariners that have a virus problem.
That's a baseball team.
I know. And the baseball team, the Seattle Mariners, are helping to possibly shut down the Major League Baseball, which brings me now to the NHL. Do you think that there might be an issue that could occur with the virus on a hockey ice rink just as easily as could occur in baseball?
I don't think so, because the NHL's in that bubble, and they're containing everybody. So it's not a widespread thing. And, you know, with the NBA, you've got some players that snuck out.
MLB, too.
Yeah, MLB.
Well, yeah.
And they've, you know, the Marlins, they had a bunch of players that either had a party before the lockdown and everybody got infected and didn't know it.
That's what I meant. If I said Mariners, I meant
you did say Mariners. That's what I was saying. Why is, you know, is that another team?
That's the old team.
Yeah, they've got like 16 Marlins players that are, yeah, and they've been shut down basically.
So we don't have to worry about the NHL having that issue?
No, because they're in the bubble.
Okay.
Okay, and then they're sticking to it. So.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to this weekend in hockey. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, my beloved team is even in, the Blackhawks. They got some sort of, you know, first games being played are for buy-ins or whatever you want to call it into the playoffs. All right, Ed. Now, we did the funniest movies the last time. Remember American Film Institute?
Yep.
Well, I'm dipping into the American Film Institute's vault one more time. These are the top 10 greatest movie heroes.
Okay.
All right. I want to see, Ed, if you can figure out.
Now, what defines a movie hero?
The guy, you know, is so noble and accomplishes so much for humanity that he's a great all-time hero in the movies.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
You ready?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Number 10.
Okay.
T T.E. Lawrence in Lawrence of Arabia, who was portrayed by Peter O'Toole. You remember that movie? And nope. It had to do with a historical figure, World War I, made in 1962. All right, number nine. George Bailey. Does that name ring a bell?
Nope.
How about It's a Wonderful Life, the movie? Does that ring a bell?
No.
Well, you're kidding.
No.
Well, Jimmy Stewart played George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. It's one of the most beloved Christmas movies.
Yeah, I know what it is, but I'm not watching it.
Okay. Number eight. Do you remember Ellen Ripley?
Yeah.
Who is she?
Ellen Ripley.
Yeah. Alien.
Yeah, I was going to say
that's right.
Alien.
Alien, all the Alien movies. Yeah. Sigourney Weaver. And, boy, those were scary. That's all I got to say. She was a hero. Number seven. Well, I know you'll know this one. Rocky Balboa. Huh? Right? Sylvester Stallone playing Rocky. Multiple films that they started in 1976. Number six. Clarice. You remember Clarice Starling?
Oh, yes. Silence of the Lambs.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Played by Jodie Foster. 1991. Number five. I don't think you'll remember it, and don't say I will, because I won't. Marshall Will Cain. Now, he was Gary Cooper in High Noon. It's a landmark Western. It was made in 1952. Number four. How about Rick Blaine? Do you know who Rick Blaine was?
No.
You know the movie Casablanca?
With I've heard
Humphrey
of it, yeah.
Bogart, considered by many to be the best movie ever made.
Yeah, yeah.
He played Rick Blaine, the owner of that gin mill in Casablanca, 1942. Number three, Bond.
James Bond. Which one?
Sean Connery.
Okay, yeah, he's probably the best.
I think there's
Bond,
no question about it.
Yeah.
That whole series, though, and that hero, James Bond, could be number one in my opinion, but it started in 1962 with Dr. No. Number two, Indiana Jones.
Mm.
Did you watch those?
I've never sat through any one of them.
Really?
I've tried to watch them and I've got distracted.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you don't know. That's fair enough. Well, it was played by Harrison Ford, multiple films.
Mm.
They started with Raiders of the Lost Ark in 1981. Okay, I'm going to give you a hint on number one, Ed. I'm going to give you a hint because I know it's going to be a tough one. It is a tough one.
Mm.
It was only one movie.
Ooh.
It starred Gregory Peck.
Oh, I'm out.
And
I've not seen one Gregory Peck movie.
And it came from a very famous book,
mm-hmm.
which had to do with the South.
Okay. Don't know.
Okay. Roll the drums. You might not be good at getting the heroes right, Ed, but you are a very good drummer. Atticus Finch. Do you know who that was?
No.
To Kill a Mockingbird,
okay.
Atticus Finch was the lawyer that defended a black man who was accused of molesting a white woman. Mm-hmm. And it took place in Alabama. It became a very famous movie with Gregory Peck in 1962, To Kill a Mockingbird. All right. Well, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back on Monday, 10 to 11 a.m. In the meantime, have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe, and remember, freedom works.
But lately something's changed, it ain't hard to define. Yes, he's got himself a girl, and I want to make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes. And she's loving him with that body, I just know.